Now, as we've seen, socialists also were becoming more organized in the late 19th, early 20th century. We've already discussed the growth of the Russian Social Democratic Workers' Party starting in the 1890s and the division of the party in 1903 into Bolsheviks and Mensheviks. But there was also the rise of a new major populist socialist party organized in 1901 and called the Socialist Revolutionary Party, or simply the SR Party. Like populists before them, this party had two faces in its strategy and its approach to political action. First of all, it believed deeply in education and in organization, that it tried to promote its program through institutions that would educate people to think about socialist ideas, through what they like to call propaganda. And the program of these populist socialists of the SR Party, which pretty much attracted all non-Marxist socialists in the country, had two parts. It had a minimum program. This was the first goal to fight for. And this was a democratic and free society in which, to be sure, capitalism existed but was restricted by various social reform laws, not unlike the liberals were suggesting, though even further than that. In some ways, their minimum program, their immediate program, was also liberal democratic, a liberal democratic society. But they also had a maximum program, what they wanted to achieve in the long term, which would have to wait for a more developed society, more education, more economic development of the country. And this was for a socialist society, which in their mind meant complete control of the economy, though through the state, but also through local institutions, by the classes that worked, by workers and peasants. Unlike Marxists, by the way, who felt workers should, through their party at least, in the Bolshevik case, control society, there was no distinction between workers and peasants in the mind of populists, of socialist revolutionaries. They were all working people, and that's what mattered. They should have some control over their fate, over their lives. There's also, as per tradition, the other side of the SR work, and that was terrorism. They believed, like the earlier populists, that it was necessary to lay the groundwork for popular revolution, to inspire people to prepare to attack the state, and to weaken the government through a series of political assassinations. Whether or not anybody was inspired by terrorism is quite questionable. What is clear is that they effectively terrorized the government. Between 1901 and 1917, the SR Party managed to kill 139 officials, many of them quite high, to wound 85 of them, and they only missed 16. And besides these major opposition groups, the liberals and the socialists, the Marxists, the populists, there was also important discontent among certain large social groups. And I need to introduce these sources of these discontent to understand 1905, but in the next couple of lectures we'll talk more about the life of peasants and workers and other ordinary Russians. First of all, peasants were increasingly unhappy, as they in some ways had been since 1861, with the land settlement of emancipation and with their own poverty. It also is worth noting that peasants were increasingly aware of the larger world, more likely to think about alternatives. More on them next time. Even more important, though, given what happened in 1905, where in many ways the revolution started or made its most important step forward due to the actions of urban workers, especially in cities like Petersburg and Moscow, it's important to pay attention, therefore, to the growing discontent, the growing class of urban workers, something relatively new in Russia since the 1870s, 80s, and 90s. Workers in this growing industrial terrain had a lot to be unhappy about. Their material situation in cities like Petersburg and Moscow and others was often horrible, typical of early industrialization. Overcrowded housing, as workers came to the city and nothing adequate was built for them, often with deplorable sanitary conditions. It wasn't unusual to be living in basement apartments in cities like Petersburg, for example, with mold and mildew on the walls and rats crossing their houses, their small rooms. And they were terribly crowded. Long hours at work, a 10 to 12 hour was the normal workday, even after a labor reform in 1897 reduced it from the typical 13, 14, and 15 hour day. constant risk of injury from unprotected machinery. No laws had yet been passed to protect workers from dangerous wheels and belts. Brutal discipline. It was very much the tradition in Russian factories to list large numbers of strict rules, set very high fines, and just for good measure, a foreman might give you a little bit of a beating to help you learn how to behave. And also terrible diet due to low wages, due to lack of adequate food, but also due to bad habits such as heavy drinking.